at St. Paul's Baptist Church, we had a time, and then another time, and another half a time after that. After going there, you know, I've been pastoring this church for 11 years, I think. And after going in there, it's like, I don't even think I know what I'm doing anymore. It's like, wow. They poured so much love on us. I mean, they just kept pouring it on, and graciousness and hospitality. And you would have thought we were, you know, the king and the queen. They gave us gifts. They took up an offering for us. They took us out to dinner afterwards. And they just blessed us. And what a joy it was to spend some time worshiping with the body of Christ. You know, the body of Christ takes many different shapes, sizes, colors. And when we get together, it's a good thing. And so I'm looking forward. I believe that Friday night, for those who don't know, I was asked to go and speak they're having a 59-year anniversary celebration. They celebrate their anniversary every year, hallelujah. I mean, and they do it well. But I believe that connection is one of many that God is beginning here in this city. Because I believe it's not just my goal, it's God's goal to win every soul in this city. To drive the sin out. To rather than the city be overwhelmed with drugs and alcohol and sin, rather that be driven out and the city be overwhelmed by the Holy Spirit of God. And I believe that there's enough believers in this city that if we would all unite together, one of the pastors there we were talking, and he explained to me about fishing for men or fishing in a fishing net has you know, a lot of strings, a lot of individual lines, and when they cross and they intersect together and you cast it out there, it's able to catch the fish. And I believe, you know, as he was saying that, I just saw this picture of all the churches in Geneva that really believe in Jesus Christ and Him crucified for our sins, gathering together and becoming that net that when we go out in the city, we can catch the souls of men. And so we had just a wonderful time there, and who knows what God has in store for the future, but I know it's good. I know it's wonderful. And so thank you, those who came out and enjoyed that with us. today, I want to continue on. I have been preaching about these five verses for the last 13 weeks. I counted this morning all the sermons, and I came up with 13. And it's all about being who God has called us to be, doing what God has called us to do. I've been calling it the master key for successful Christian life. And the reason why I say that is because it begins with Matthew 4:17. I'm going to just run through this quickly for those who haven't been here before, perhaps. And by the way, God bless you if you're here for the first time. I just pray that God will touch your heart in such a way that you know He's real and that you'll be inspired by Him and blessed by Him. And so we've been talking about these verses. It starts out, if we want to succeed with God, it starts out with repentance. It starts out with turning our hearts from the ways of the world and the sin that we have indulged in all our lives and turning our hearts to God and following Him. Asking Him to forgive us of our sins and trusting by faith that He died for us and that He rose again on the third day and that He forgives us of our sin. And as we follow Him, He will give us a new life, an everlasting life. And then the next verse, Matthew 16:24, if any man come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. This verse gets a little bit deeper than just choosing Jesus to be your Savior. It's a step in His direction. Where you deny yourself and you start realizing what it is that God has called you to do and you start getting busy doing that. Hallelujah, this is so much different than Friday night. Amen. Thank you, sister. Thank you, sister. Crowd interacts over there, let me tell you. You say something they like, and they get up, and they clap, and they shout, and praise the Lord. Next is the central verse. It's key, I believe, to all of it. I believe that every person who believes in Jesus Christ fits within that one verse, Matthew 4:19. He says, follow me, I will make you fishers of men. The follow me being back at the beginning there, where we repent and we choose to follow him. If that's you today, if today's the first day, if for some reason, you know, today you decide, you know what, I'm going to follow Jesus Christ. If today's the first day, then you've started a journey. But that verse in the center there tells us where the journey ends, when we become fishers of men. When we have grown in Christ to the point where we are able to communicate the gospel to somebody else and share our love for God and share God's love for them in such a way that they too would choose him. You see, God doesn't want us to show up in heaven all by ourselves. He wants us to bring as many people as we can with us. And so if you're somewhere between repenting and becoming a fisher of men, that's okay. I just want to encourage you, you know what? Take another step closer to God. Take another intentional step forward in order that you would grow. Grow in the wisdom and knowledge of the Lord and in the spirit of the Lord, in order that you can become a fisher of men. And if you are a fisher of men, God bless you. Just keep throwing that net out. Keep throwing that net out. Keep throwing that net out. The love of God. We've talked about all of this. The net, the bait for fishing is love. And the net is your testimony, what God did for you. And the boat that you're going to draw them into is God's kingdom. Hallelujah. Who likes being in God's kingdom? I do. And then Acts chapter 1, verse 8, we've been talking about this for the last few weeks. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost comes on you, and you shall be witnesses for me. I believe that that power is talking about power over your own sin nature in order that you can be a testimony, you can be a good witness for Jesus. And also understanding that there is power from the Holy Ghost for a purpose, and that is to lift up Jesus Christ. To tell someone, if you stammer over your words, if you really have a desire to share Christ with somebody, but you don't know how, you don't even know what to say, then you ask God to fill you with power after the Holy Ghost. Ask him to put the Holy Ghost on you so that you can speak boldly the things of God, that men will receive him. And your communication doesn't have to be exactly like mine. However it is that you can communicate to somebody that Jesus loves them, that Jesus died for them, that he will forgive them, and if they would choose to follow him, he will save them and give them eternal life. However it is you can communicate to that somebody, do it. And finally, we're up to the final verse. So be praying for me. I'm not sure which direction we're going next week. Mark chapter 16, verse 15, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for what you've done in our hearts over the last 13 weeks. And I pray, Father, that as we finish up this series with this final verse, God, that you will put within us the desire, the ability, and the power to win lost souls, to advance your kingdom right here in Geneva. In Jesus' name, amen. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Forgive me, I got a piece of ice when I took a sip that time. It's hard to talk when there's ice floating in your mouth. I got four things I want to talk about this particular verse, and the first thing I want to talk about is the first word, go. Go. It's like, okay, God has given us the task of preaching the gospel to every creature. You ready, set, go. Don't wait any longer. Don't wonder if, I'm not sure if God really wants me to do that. Yes, he does. Go. And you know, the word go, it can mean a couple of different things. It can mean travel. Travel to a destination. I'm glad none of you at this point took it literally and got up and left the building. while I'm speaking. But afterwards, yeah, let's go. Let's go somewhere. Let's go to our families. Let's go to our coworkers. Let's go to, you know, wherever it is that God sends us. And let's get going. You see, the word go can also be kind of like, let's get started. Paul talked about a race, didn't he? Run the race with the intention of winning. And as soon as that gun goes off, that starts the race. And believe me, it's already gone off. You got to go. I had this picture in my mind when I was thinking about all this. You know how runners, you ever watch the Olympics and they're out there, there's a line of them, they're all in the tracks and they're all jumping up and down and they're shaking their legs, getting ready to go. I had this picture of that, and I had this picture of this one guy just kind of getting limbered up, ready, warming up his body, do a couple squats maybe, you know. Everybody else is in the starting block, ready at the line. And the gun goes off, and everybody else goes, but this one guy, he's just like, not quite ready yet. Don't want to pull a muscle. Sometimes I think that's what the church is like. We've been told to go. The gun has already gone, sounded. What are we doing? Amen. That's exactly right. Well, I'm not quite ready yet. I got to work on this a little bit more. Thank you, Mike. I really appreciate Mike sharing that because I know Mike is one who goes. Go. Don't wait any longer. If nothing else, if you can remember just that slide this morning, let it burn into your, into the back of your mind so that when you wake up in the morning, all you see, oh, I got to go. God's got something for me to do. I got to get busy. Go. Go where? Into all the world. How hard is that? Go into all the world. You know that we have a videotape going, running right now. And this message will be online. You can go see it. It's on our webpage, at our website, GenevaAssemblyOfGod.com. And you can click on, you know, look on the home button. You'll find the message. You can click it there. Do you know that anybody who knows that that's there anywhere in the world can go and click there and see that? So don't tell me you can't go somewhere. I'll never forget the testimony of Ken Grass when somebody prophesied over him right here at this altar and told him that he would be healed and that his testimony would be seen and heard by millions. Sometime later, God heals him. At a Benny Hinn conference. And they put him on the stage and they had him share his testimony on the stage. And then Benny Hinn called him up, or his people did anyway. I don't know if he actually talked to Benny. But his people called him up and they used his testimony at the promotion. You know, Benny Hinn's program is on every single day all around the world. They used Ken Grass's testimony for weeks or year, for a whole year. They showed a video of him running across the stage, something that he could not do, and sharing his testimony about what God did for him. His testimony was heard and seen by millions in all the world. Wow. Go into all the world. Now, as soon as you heard me say this, into all the world, many of you turned off. Your mind turned right off. It's like, well, he's not talking to me. God doesn't have any plan on taking me anywhere. I'm not aware of any mission trips coming up that I can afford. And so immediately your mind was turned right off as soon as I said, go into all the world. Because that's somebody else's job, isn't it? Sometimes in our mind, that's what we think. It was like, oh, you know what? There's people out there doing it. You know, Franklin Graham, God bless him. He's sending stuff all around the world. He travels. He'll do it. Yeah, he will do it. But you know what? God wants us to do it too. And you know what? I'm not even so sure that God is so worried about you and I traveling anywhere in order to preach the gospel in all the world. Because right here where we live is part of all the world. You don't have to go very far to take part in preaching the gospel to all the world. Preach it in the part that you live in. Preach it to your family. Amen. Thank you, sister. I've said this before. What part of the world is your part of the world? That's the part God has called you to. How hard is that? He'll use you right here, right now. And believe me, I appreciate the comments from that are coming, because it tells me you got a burning desire growing up inside you to share what God is doing. Go into all the world. Realize that right here where you are is part of all of the world, and you don't necessarily have to travel anywhere. But if God has called you to do that, then do it. Some of you, God has called to go, and you haven't even realized it yet. There's somebody somewhere in the world. Pamela's up here smiling. Are you going to Africa again this year? In February, Pamela's going to Africa, and she's going to need some financial help doing that, I got to believe. Anyone else know you got a trip scheduled? Anyone else? Okay, well, God will let you know what the itinerary. You know, we know four other people going to Africa. God will let you know what the itinerary is sooner or later. But some of you are called to go somewhere else and preach the gospel. There's somebody somewhere in the world that needs to hear your testimony. But I do know this, that everybody in this town or the surrounding area or the places where you go, your families, your loved ones, your friends, Dallas, your school, the place in the world, the part of the world where God sends you, He wants you to do what? Go into all the world and do what? Preach the gospel. How many gospels are there? There's one. There's one God. There's one gospel. There's one truth. Now if you read in there, you see there's a few other little gospels here and there. But really the word gospel means truth. But the gospel that we are to be preaching to all the world and to every creature is the gospel of Jesus Christ. We all know John chapter 3, verse 16. If you don't know John chapter 3, verse 16, then you've been living under a rock. I'm sorry. You apparently don't watch football. You apparently haven't ever been to a church outreach. You haven't read your Bible. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And I really appreciate our sister asked me to help with memorial service the other day. She said 16 and 17, and she's right. I like verse 17 to go right along with it. If, as you're preaching the gospel that God loves you, that He sent His Son to die for you, use verse 17 as well. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. You know, that condemnation thing is part of preaching the gospel. And if we would perhaps get it in our hearts, you know what? God didn't send His Son to condemn the world. If we would get that in our hearts, maybe we would be a little less judgmental ourselves. And so God had his son. Who's his son? Who's God's son? Somebody tell me. Jesus is God's son. How did God send him? How did Jesus get here? Anybody know? Through the Virgin Mary. Holy Spirit came on Mary. She conceived, has a son. His name is Jesus. Christmas is coming, isn't it? We're going to celebrate that. What did Jesus do? He saved us. He lived a sinless life. Excuse me? Go ahead. Yes. Amen. Do you know what we're hearing? We're hearing people who understand the gospel and can communicate it. He said it a little differently than she said it, but they both said the truth. And you know what? Some people need to hear it differently than how other people say it. And so the way you say it is important to some, and the way I say it is important to some, and the way Mike says it is important to some. But the important thing is that we understand what it is we're talking about. I shared this the other day, Friday night at the church over there. How many of you can really communicate the gospel of Jesus Christ to somebody? Are you saved? Yeah, I'm saved. So what's that mean? Well, it means I'm saved. How would you say that? How would you tell somebody else how you got saved? I don't know. We need to know what we know. If we know we're saved, why are we saved? How did we get saved? What did Jesus do to save us? And be able to communicate that. Let people know that Jesus lived a sinless life. But then he took upon himself our sins, and he was crucified in our place in order to set us free from our sin. And so he was crucified. Then what did he do? He rose from the grave. 3 days later. What's Easter all about? Or Resurrection Sunday, or whatever it is you want to call it. The day of the greatest demonstration of the power of God ever, when Jesus rose from the grave. So he lived, he died, he rose again, and where is he now? Somebody know where he is right now? I heard two things. I heard he's at the right hand of the Father, and he's everywhere. And I heard he's right here, too. And he's right here. What's he doing there? He's interceding for you and me. Well, how does that help us? Because when he went to the Father, he sent his Spirit to us, to help us, to fill us, to lead us, and to guide us, to empower us. To preach the gospel. And so, what do we need to do? We need to go, where? Into all the world, and do what? Preach the gospel to who? Every creature. You know, if you look up that word creature, the word they used in the Greek, you'll find several different little meanings. But really, it's about all creation. It's about all humankind. Telling everybody. There should not nobody within the realm of my influence, the realm of your influence, nobody should go to their grave without having heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. You and I have agreed. I preached these five verses, this master key, the other night over at St. Paul's. And as I'm preaching, they're looking at each other like, I got to change my plans tomorrow. I got to get out there and tell people about Jesus. And I'm like, hallelujah, somebody gets it. I put a post on a little while ago that said something like, if it's not your intention to tell somebody about Jesus each and every day that you're alive, then you've got to get your priorities straight. Yes, dear. Amen. What do you mean, like me? I'm not perfect. Trust me. Oh, that's how people.
No, we don't.
Wow. Amen. Amen. Come as you are. God will use you as you are. You know, I struggle. You know, the other night I put on a whole three-piece suit. I mean, I wore a suit because that's what they do there, and I didn't want to offend them, you know. And so I dressed the way I know they expected me to dress. But I struggle here, you know, because I've had people, you know, even at the jail say, well, how do I dress when I come there? And then usually when I go to the jail, I'm in a jeans and a sweatshirt. I said, well, see this? This is how I preach sometimes. I want them to be comfortable. You know, and if they feel that they can't come to church because they don't have good enough clothes, we've already lost them. I'll never forget the man who came here with his prison clothes still on and received love from this body. Because none of us are perfect. Thank you, Rhonda, for sharing. You do not have to be perfect. You don't have to even say it right the first time. Well, sometimes we're afraid to say something because, oh, I'm going to screw this up. I know I'm not going to get it right. Yes. By the way, I love this interaction today. That's why I say the net is your testimony. Because when you put love in there and you cast it out and you tell them what God did for you, now it's real. It's not about, you know, it is about this book that was written several hundreds of years ago. But it's really about what God did for you and how he can do that for them. And believe me, I'm one of the worst at memorizing scripture. The fact that I can't remember half your people's names half the time should be a little clue that I don't have a lot of scripture memorized either. You know what I do when I need a scripture? I pull it out and I find it on my little electronic device, because that's the easiest thing, the easiest, quickest way I've found to, you know. But here's the deal: it is important that you read it. At least read it. If you can memorize it, then memorize it. If you can't memorize it, just read it and get it in there, because the Spirit of God will use what's in your heart, what you've already put in your brain, and he'll pull it out at the right moment, and you'll say, hey, you know what? The Bible says, I'm not sure where, but the Bible says this. And this is how it affected me. And my life changed because God spoke to me. And so, but if you really need, if they, well, show me. Oh, well, okay, I'll show you. It's right here. You know, I have breakfast with pastors every Tuesday, and some of them are like, man, they just throw them quotes out there like this and that, and I'm like, oh. We don't have to be perfect, but we do have to be loving, and we do have to be real. And we do have to share it with every creature. And I'm curious if God's intentionally used to read the word creature because the whole world is in a fallen state because of sin. Danny, you were going to say something? Amen. If you just can't come up with anything else, invite them to church. Encourage them to read their Bibles. Encourage them to pray. Yes. Amen. Amen. Just love them. Just love them. Yes, the thing we're going to talk about here tonight at 6 o'clock, we've still got a bunch of stuff in our basement that Convoy of Hope, we went to that Convoy of Hope training a few weeks ago, and they gave us a bunch of stuff to do just that, to meet needs in the community. And so tonight we'll have a sample of what we have down there up here so that we can take a look at it. We can just have a discussion and perhaps gain some ideas or some thoughts on who best to give it to, how to do that in such a way that they know that we're not trying to trick them or fool them, but we just want to love them. We want to help them. We want to reach out and meet some need. And, you know, I'm reminded, you know, as Mike was talking about just the love languages, some people need you to touch them. Just reach out and just shake their hand. You know, I'm pretty sure a lot of the people that, I'm never going back to that church, they didn't even shake my hand when I walked in. Chances are they're a physical touch person and somebody needed to love them with a handshake. Some of them need you to just spend some quality time. Just sit down and listen. Just spend some time with them. Some of them need a gift. That piece of pizza and those chicken nuggets, you know, they need that. Some of them need just some simple words of encouragement. Some affirmation. Hey, you know what? You're doing a really good job. I know that the boss was just all over you just now, but you're really working hard, and that's awesome. And if I missed one, what was it? Acts of service. Some of them need you to come along and rake their yard and mow and clean their toilets and pick up their sticks and paint their house. And however it is that you can love somebody and share the gospel with them, every creature. Somebody want to get a basket and put it in the back? One way that we can go into all the world and preach the gospel is through those Christmas boxes. And we need your help to send them. And so we're going to put a table or a basket on the back table there, just like we did last week. And if you would like to help us send love around the world, then please, just whatever God puts in your heart, you put in that basket. And you will be a part of going to all the world and preaching the gospel. Isn't that awesome? Here's what I believe. I believe there's enough lovers of Jesus Christ in the city of New York, Geneva, New York, and in the city of New York, but in Geneva, New York, to win Geneva, New York. But we've got to do it. We've got to go. We've got to speak up. We've got to share the gospel. You know, Satan has managed to get us to think that every time we show up in these four walls, wow, we're doing the church, woohoo! And he's got us all confined to one day on Sunday where we all go to our little individual boxes and we have a Holy Ghost, hallelujah, shouting time. And isn't it wonderful? We heard God's word spoken, and then when we slip out of here, everybody's all tight-lipped, nobody says anything until the next Sunday. That's not how God wants to do it. Just alone in the churches that are around this city today, who had just the people that showed up today, if they would go out into this community and preach the gospel, I believe we'll win this community. Jesus says, lift me up, I'll draw them. What's our job? Lift him up. What's his job? He draws them. Just keep throwing that net out there. Just keep filling it with love, throwing it out there, and drawing it back into the kingdom. And every now and again, when you pull that net back into the kingdom, there's going to be somebody's soul in there, and it'll be added to God's kingdom. Isn't that awesome? But we got to do it. Not just perfect old me. Perfect old you, too. Because you know what? Perfection isn't about everything being exactly in its place and right. Perfection is doing what God's called you to do. Gloria, you want to say something? Praise God. Amen. Never give up on somebody that God puts in your heart. Never give up. Just keep throwing love at them. Get some good old love snowballs and throw at them. Some love mud and throw at them. Some love whatever. Yes, Evie. Thank you, Jesus.
And this is what I try to do.
Amen. You know, I preached a series a while back about getting the love right. We've got to get the love right. Okay, now we've gone to the Beatles. I've lost you. Come on.
Is it true? Everybody needs love.
Let me ask you this question. Earlier I said, who's willing to help the Salvation Army? Today, I want to ask you, who's willing to preach the gospel to your part of the world? Will you stand with me? You know, like I said earlier, even if you don't know how or you don't know what to do, just if you're willing, it matters. That's the first step. I want to encourage you, go into your part of the world, because that's part of all of the world, and preach the gospel to every creature you find. Father, I pray right now that your Holy Spirit will be poured out upon this body of believers. And not only this body of believers, but every body of believers who have gathered to lift up your name today here in this city. And Lord, as we go, I pray that you will empower us with your Spirit. Lord, that you will help us to reach out in love. That you will use us, however it is that you want to use us, our gifts, our talents, our stories, our testimonies, our love for you. Help us to share that, in order that we can build your kingdom. See other souls repent and turn to you and be saved. Hallelujah. Save them all, Jesus. That one has arrived. I think we got a loose one. Thank you, Missy. With childlike faith, bursting into our city to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Father, bless each one here today. And tonight when we gather, I just pray that you would give us ideas and help us, Lord, to reach out and to love. Bless each one today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. I appreciate you coming out. I know I went a little long. Hopefully I see you tonight. We'll figure out what to do with the stuff. Love one another before you leave. And have a great afternoon. Okay.
My name is Kenny.
It's who?
My name is Kenny.
Kenny, nice to meet you.
And I need you to pray for me.
I'd be glad to do that, brother.
And my daughter.
Okay.
Because it's like I'm losing my daughter to drugs.
Oh, okay. What's your name?
Kyler.
Kylie?